Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of James. And the title of the message this morning is going to be 100%. 100%. As we find your places there, I'll give you a quick update. And boy, I tell you, if that wasn't a 100% song right there, that's wonderful. I tell you, 100% message and everything about it. Wonderful. It fit just perfectly. But I want to share with you when we get there, I want to share with you a few prayer requests. We can get them on the radio and also an announcement. Do continue. I appreciate those who have asked about my father-in-law, Brother Dave Lechner, Wendy's dad. He was headed back to Florida yesterday, and they called me from just by the interstate there. They just got fuel, and he said his heart was racing. It was like over 200, and I guess it's only supposed to do quite a bit less than that a minute. So anyway, you could actually see it through his shirt. So they're watching us on the internet at Wake Med this morning, and tell them hello, and certainly everybody here said they're praying for you. And then a friend I met in Raleigh there this week at the apartment complex. I hope you're watching us this morning, and I hope you're in there as well, and many different ones. But then I got a text just a few minutes ago from my wife, and they said that they were treating it for irregular heartbeat. Thought that was what was going on, but it shot back up this morning. And a few minutes ago, they found out his heart's only pumping 10% of the blood that it should be. And so that's obviously a heart problem in there. Somewhere needs to be corrected. And so they're doing a heart cath in the morning then. So you'll be praying for him and for Miss Bessie as well. I know he was supposed to be at school reporting for in-service week for teaching next week, or Monday, tomorrow actually. So I think he's going to be a little late. But anyway, you just be praying that that'll work out. And of course, whenever they're able to get things straightened out, I'll help them get back to Florida and everything. But we'll just keep you informed on that. And then I want to let you know as well, those in the internet and radio audience, that on August 23rd, well, two things coming up. We're going to be doing revival with Randy Perry starting next Sunday. You don't want to miss that. I believe that's Sunday through Wednesday, I believe. And then also following that on the 23rd, it's a Saturday, we're going to be doing an all-day-long youth rally. Brother Terrence Holt used to play with the NFL, I believe, and one of the state guys will be there, and I believe sharing a testimony somewhere throughout the day, Gary Porter, who drives the Gravedigger monster truck. He is a Christian as well, and I wanted him to jump something out of the camp, you know, but they won't let him do that. Some kind of contract issues about that. And I said, well, we won't tell. Nobody will notice. You know, I'm sure nobody would notice a big truck jumping through the woods. But anyway, but he will be there as well. A number of other groups. I was trying to think of one of the man's name that had just God saved out of prison. He'll be there and a lot of different groups all day long doing different things. Asked some of our kids that were in our Bow Down Drama Camp last week if they'd be willing and to do some of their performance during that day as well. And we had some cancellations. So, well, I know just what needs to go in there. So anyway, we're hoping some of them can be there that day. And it's just going to be a great day. And I don't believe it's no accident that God has orchestrated the events that He has. Brother Calvin had it. Brother Calvin Ramsey's in charge of this youth rally. We're just kind of hosting it there at the camp, but that's at 1200 Cornwallis Road in Garner, or it's in the Johnson County part of Garner, where the old Speedway was. And I believe God has this all put together. I believe He's doing a great revival work among our youth in our area. And any great revival or great movement that ever started was usually started with youth. Even when you get into youth now, I know 30 to some of you youth don't sound too young, but it is the rest of us. You think about some of the Jonathan Edwards who preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, literally read his sermon and people just gripped the pews. They were so terrified of that sermon and so came to Christ and it started the Great Awakening. In fact, Jonathan Edwards didn't live that long, as a matter of fact. But many of those things start with that. So I wanted to make that aware to our internet and radio audience and already start making plans as well for our fall activities, Judgment House. I believe all that's just lining up that God's going to do a revival with us. So with that in mind, 100%, James, the book of James, which I love, chapter 1 and verse 19. We started this series a couple of weeks ago, but we'll start reading this morning in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now look with me down to verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 100%. What does that mean to you? A few weeks ago, or a little while ago actually, rather now, my daughter had a birthday, and she wanted to do a little camping trip over to Jordan Lake, and took some of her friends over there, and we did. And I did a kind of a silly thing. We have two little furry creatures at home, and I know some of you that believe they are part of the family. So when we go camping, boy, they want to go. One's a, 30 or 40 pound, smelly hound dog. Well, he's a beagle lab mix. And the other one, we walk around the house sometimes singing to him, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." The other one is a little rat terrier chihuahua mix who just loves everybody for the most part and is about 7 pounds of just wide open bundle. Kind of fits my daughter. It's my daughter's dog, and, you know, I mean, it is 100% all the time. Twice now, I have gotten to a campground and went to look for a very important part of their lives and realized I left it. The dog food. There's nothing like having two little dogs or one big dog, one little dog looking up like you. Yeah. Got food for me? And I'm going, uh-oh. And I'm not about to share my steak with them. We had taken some hamburgers and some bacon and eggs, and I'm looking at that going, no, that's not going to do either. So I had to leave and pack up the thing, go all the way down, find some dog food. The closest minute market I could find, I finally found some. And all they had, and we don't usually give them this canned dog food, you know. We usually give them just the regular old dry dog food. That's what they like. And so I looked on the back of this thing. I think it was maybe Alpo or something like that. And it said 100% pure beef tips in gravy. And I said, these dogs, we won't be able to do nothing with them after I feed them this. It's all I could find. Took it back and I opened it for them, and they're all just bouncing around, you know, and they're happy as they could be. And we fed those dogs 100% pure, whatever it was, beef, I guess. Well, a couple weeks ago, we went to the grocery store. My wife and I, and we were going through the grocery store, and I picked up a package of hamburger meat. And it said 80-20. And I said, now, wait a minute. What's that mean? Well, some of you are laughing because you have discovered this fact. You can get 70-30. You can get 80-20. You can get no fat, some fat, lots of fat, and great fat, or something like that in the hamburger meat product. Turkey ground, chicken ground, deer ground, you can name it. And I said, no, wait a minute. 80-20 means I'm getting 80% beef and 20% something else. And I thought, now, I think we need to go down here to the dog food aisle. We might do a little better. I mean, there's had a nice appetizing looking picture. And, well, you know what the ground beef looks like. 100% pure. James is writing to us, and he, first of all, he is going to give us, we started out in a quick review. We saw that he was informing us about our faith. Not only that, but he was wanting us to investigate our faith. And he wanted us to install some things on our faith. He's going to tell us in these few verses what our faith is not and what it should be. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether it's internet, radio, or right here live, has one of three types of faith. The first thing, and I want you to understand, if you were to go back to the very beginning of James, it said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren." Now, share with you, last time, he never calls anybody brethren unless they're brethren. Now, that is, of course, a generic term for men and women, boys and girls. Who's a brethren of yours? Anybody that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, now, Brother Brad and I might have a different mother and a different father on earth, but we're brothers. I know that. I know some of the songs and the music that touches him touches me. I can feel it in his spirit. I know that we're brothers. We be brothers, you know. We be. But not everyone that claims to be is. He uses the word there later on in the last verse, pure religion. And in fact, do you know the word religion only pops up in the Bible about 6 or 7 times? That's it. One of those times is discussing the Apostle Paul before he was even saved. It was discussing it. Paul was religious, and then, praise God, he got saved and got over it. See, Paul was religious, but he got rid of religion and found something much better. Paul was religious. When he was religious, he was a murderer. He was. I believe, and I'm fully convinced, that the Apostle Paul wouldn't be welcome in most of our churches. See, he didn't act like the rest of us. Religion, and it's been said that a story is told, and of course we don't know how it all happens in the demon world, although we know the demon world is very real. Story was told that the devil was gathering all of his demons together, and he said, "What's the best way we can get men to deny Christ?" And of course, by denying Christ, they'll end up in hell. And one suggested, he said, "Well, let's tell them that there is no God." He said, "You do that, but I don't think everybody will believe it." The Bible says the fool had said in his heart, "There is no God." And there are a lot of fools around that are saying there is no God. Some bought that line. He said to the other one, another one popped up, and he said, "Well, we'll just tell them that they don't have to worry about it. Just live the life any way they want to. And it'll be okay. It'll all work out in the end." He said, "You do that." And many have bought that line. But a third stepped up and said, "Oh, wicked master, here's what we should do. We should tell them that they need to go get a little religion. They might even need to dress up a little bit occasionally and go to church. Maybe when the offering plates pass, they'll reach in and pull out the most visited bill in a church, $1, and put it in. They ought to be kind of a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout and help folks when they get a chance. Try not to be too bad. Just a little bad, but just get a little religion." And the devil jumped with glee and said, "That's it. That's what we'll sell them." And religion is the best ticket you can find that has a one-way stamp to hell. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything else in our world. Religion won't do you any good. You see, every person has one of three kinds of faith. Dead faith. Is your faith dead? The Word of God uses a term in another passage, being animated or quickened, made alive. Because before a man or a woman is saved, they're dead in their sins. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We know sin means literally missing the mark. You're good enough, ain't good enough. And so you have missed the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is good enough to get into heaven on their own. You can do all the good works in the world you want and die and go to hell. It's not going to help you. And James wants you to realize that faith without works is dead. Some people, I got faith, I believe. Well, what are you believing in? Faith without works is dead. There's nothing there. It's dead. You see, something that's dead, someone that's dead will not walk in here and sit in a pew. You say, well, why doesn't the world enjoy the things of God? Because they're dead. A dead person's not going to enjoy it. You see, a person that is spiritually dead will not enjoy picking up the Bible and reading it. Doesn't do anything for them. And our churches are filled with people who are spiritually dead. They have faith. They believe in God. But they're dead. There has never been a time in their life that they have said, yes, God, I want to give my life to you no matter what. I want to turn from my sin. And I want a relationship with the King of Kings. Their faith is dead. There is no works in their life to prove that they have faith. Faith without works is dead. He is not teaching some kind of a, well, your good works outweigh your bad works kind of thing. What he is rather saying is there is no evidence in your life that there is a living faith, and so therefore it is as if you are spiritually dead, you have no life whatsoever, there is no pulse, it's dead. And so there are some here and some that are listening to me that have dead faith. You have a faith, but it's not doing you any good. And for those, the only thing that God will, that you can do about it is to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and say, yes, Lord, I want you to have my life. Come in, change me, make me a new creature, and I want to have a live faith. Yep. Then you can go on to the next step. Secondly, dull faith. There are many people, and this is where I would say that about 85% of the Christians who are saved, who know Jesus Christ as Savior, know that heaven's their home, this is where they are. They have a dull faith. They have faith in Christ. They know Jesus Christ loves them. They know they ought to do some things, but they just don't do them. Life gets in the way. And friends, I don't think I need to tell you, life can be short. James, and I just shared this, I believe last Sunday or Wednesday night a week ago, he said, life is like a vapor. We're here a little while. Life's short. Someone one time asked, why do you and Miss Wendy, and of course we, Melania, I'm so excited that she's joined in with us now. She used to, she didn't have a choice, but now she's getting old enough that she understands it and sees what we're doing. And why do y'all go so much and do so many things? And I say, because life is short. I only get one shot at this thing. And I'm going to do everything I can to take everybody I can with me. But many, many people, their faith is dull. Things have come into their life to where they can't hear God. They got saved. They know Jesus Christ is their Savior, but they never went anywhere from there, and their faith just is dull. Ever tried to cut anything with a dull blade? My soul, I love getting on an airplane. Well, I really don't. Satire there. Get on an airplane, and you sit down, and they give you all the ways that you could die before you get off and how to avoid them. Just in case, we don't plan on sinking, but just in case there's a life preserver under your seat that might float, if you can find it. And there's a thing that's going to come out, and don't worry about that. It looks like it doesn't have air, but it'll probably have air in it. You just go ahead and take that. And after a while, and now they don't even, actually have a person do it anymore. They have a video doing it, And all of those kind of things. And on those flights to the Philippines, after a while, it gets so long, we ate four meals on there. And I just ask them, is this supposed to be breakfast, lunch, or supper? Is this midnight snack? Just tell me what I'm eating so I'll know what it is. And then they give you some kind of meat type product, especially if you're on an international flight, because it's not always, it come from there. It didn't come from here. Know what I mean? And I don't know where there was. I just know they told us in the Philippines that they got a steak one night. And there are many forms of steak. I got into it, and as I said before, I think I got a tender knife. I'm not going to say the steak was tough, but because I looked around and I said, I don't see a cow in this place, and I haven't seen one yet. All I saw was water buffalo. We got back on that plane, and they fed us with stuff from that particular flight from Guam, I think it was. And they brought those little, of course, with all the new rules, you're not allowed to have much of a knife to cut it with. And they gave us these little plastic things that I don't think they even had any serrations on it. And you're looking around at people, it's quite hysterical to look around at people trying to cut their food. Of course, then you hit a bump, everything jumps up and down. It's like fast food. You got to catch it, and figure out where it's at, cut it all up, get it in there. It's dull. Now, I can handle plastic fork, but I want a knife to cut my meat with that's sharp. Well, in the same realm, spiritually, we need to be sharp. And James gives us a few things here. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The book of Proverbs tells us that a swift answer, completely lost it. You have those mind things that go out. But he tells us to be slow to speak. A soft answer turneth away wrath, says in Proverbs. Can I tell you that in anger, you will not accomplish the righteousness of God? Now, I know none of you folks have ever got mad at anybody. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. But I have. I've got mad at people at church. You're a preacher. You shouldn't say that. I'm just being honest. Because people do some really weird things before. Sometimes people do things. I'm scratching my head wondering, what in the world are they thinking? But there's been times I've had to check myself and say, you know what? Is your reaction to this, your response to this, I'm not supposed to react, I'm supposed to respond. If you react to this in wrath, will you accomplish the glory of God? Because you see what happens is we allow those things to come in, and I've known of churches where people got to spat with one another and they won't even talk to one another for 35 years. He says, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, listen. Slow to speak. He's going to deal with the tongue in quite length later on. Because usually the first thing that comes out, we want to give them a piece of our mind that we really can't afford to live without. Just be slow to speak because it will dull your faith. Your faith will be dull. It is very, very hard to tell somebody how you feel and give them a piece of your mind and then go kneel and pray with them at the altar. I remember one time I was coaching a basketball team and we We did something they said was impossible. We won the Christian Character Sportsmanship Award and won the state tournament all in one tournament. They said it was impossible. Couldn't be done, hadn't been done. I said, well, we're just going to do it. And we did. But it was through God's help. And I had some boys had some hot tempers we really had to work on. But you know what? It's because of the tongue. During that tournament, the coach that was against us in the state tournament and myself were the only two coaches in the entire tournament that did not receive a technical during the tournament because of something they said. I believe God honored that. Do you know what I found sad was some of those guys were like myself, also pastors. I said, how are you going to go preach Sunday and know you got a technical on a basketball court because of your mouth? Swift to hear, slow to speak. He says in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There is nothing that we can do in our anger that will work God's righteousness. It just will not happen. It is impossible. Dull faith. That is simply one of the things, he says, that keeps you from being 100% pure. From having 100% pure faith. And quickly, as we look at verse 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Well, you say, what's filthiness? You know. I don't got to tell you that. And then superfluity of naughtiness. Now, superfluity, I'm sure you all used that word three times yesterday, didn't you? Simply means superabundance. It is not a Christian's lifestyle to be naughty all the time. Sure, we mess up, we fall, we do things that are human, but it's not our lifestyle. He's saying, take this away. You want something that will dull your faith? It's this. He says, lay apart. Put those things beside you. Once you know Jesus Christ as Savior, there are some things that you just got to put beside you. You got to replace them with something else, but you got to put them beside you. You got to take those things and say, well, you know what? It's like kind of a bad coat. I got to take this off, and I need to lay it over here and maybe come down the altar and lay it there and leave it there. Say, I'm not picking it up anymore. This is maybe a habit, or this is maybe a thing that I do or a place that I go that is filthy. It's super abounding in naughtiness. It's wrong. It will dull your faith. And the reason it's been so long since we have seen a move of God in our country is we have so many people that got dull faith. Because they are not willing to put these things out of their lives. Lay apart. Can I tell you, it is work to be a Christian. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to be the one that says, hey guys, hey girls, I think maybe we ought not to talk like that. We ought not to behave that way because we're Christians. Do you know what I've found? When somebody would be man enough or woman enough to do that, most of the rest of them realize it too, and they'll join in with you. I've seen some great things out of our youth group here lately. I've seen some positive peer pressure. And it's a good thing. Do you have dull faith? Or lastly, do you have dynamic faith? The word dynamic, as it is used in the Bible, in Timothy we find it when he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That word dynamic there in the Greek literally means dynamos, and it is where we get our English word dynamite. God wants some explosive Christians. Dynamic faith. Verse number 20, he says, or 26, if any of you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain, or it is no good. It is dull. But verse 27, pure religion, 100% pure and undefiled. He's going to give us a whole list in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, but we're going to run out of time to go into all of chapter 2 today, this morning. undefiled before God, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. One day, some years ago, I was down in South Florida, where I was pastoring at the time, and I was going to, and I'm like Brother Billy. One day he said, I've wore out quite a few vehicles just on hospital visits and you know, making visits and stuff. And one time I was driving along, I was going to visit somebody in our church and that was sick or in the hospital, I can't remember which. And I was thinking about it, and I said, I wonder, you know, I know it's a good thing to do, and I do. I enjoy it, and usually you get more of a blessing from visiting them than you do from going. I said, I wonder where our biblical mandate is on that. And I came back and was studying this passage, and I found it. Here it is. Pure religion and undefiled, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, I think the word visit there means a whole lot more than just go see them, though. Sometimes they need somebody to put the tire on their car. You know, my mom is a widow now, and I was very, very grateful. The other day, she had a flat tire down in somewhere, McClinney, Florida, which is very close to the middle of nowhere. It's just before you fall off the edge. There's nothing there. And she said she was stopped. And, of course, y'all know mom is about, you know, maybe 85, 90 pounds soaking wet. And that's if it was a heavy rain. And she was there with her little motorhome. And she was out beside the road with his big old tires, couldn't change them. And he said, for a little bit, nobody stopped. And she said, then somebody stopped. And of all things, I really got tickled over this because mom hates odors of any sort, I'm telling you. But he said somebody stopped and he was driving an old Toyota pickup truck. The guy told her later had over 400,000 miles on it. And it was, he'd been hauling manure all day long. But she was grateful he stopped. In fact, I'm trying to remember the name of the church. Turns out he was kind of bivocational, like a lot of us in ministry become, that he was working in the farm fields all day, but he was also a pastor of a church in that area, Baptist pastor. And he stopped to help her, spent about 4 or 5 hours with her, and helped her get tires put back on her motor home. Man, I was grateful. I've still got to get a hold of him and tell him how much I appreciated that. And he stopped, stayed with her and until she got some help and stayed there, because I was 9 hours away, you know. And sometimes it is hard. I go visiting and I think, man, I sure hope somebody checks on my mom, you know, because she's so far away and I can't convince her that North Carolina would be a great place to live. But it's, you know, sometimes you feel bad because you're going to visit everybody else's mom and don't get to see your own, you know. But as I heard that, I thought, boy, I am so glad that in my stead, God had a pastor, a young guy, says about my age, that would go there, and God had a pastor waiting there just to come by and stop and help her. And he showed pure religion. And that was stop and help her change those tires. He said he even went with her and helped her get the tires and go back and find somebody to help put them on and everything and help her on her way. That's pure religion. Helping those folks. Who can you help today, tomorrow? You know, I mentioned the other day, I said, you know, the Johnson family is going to need some help, not only now, but, you know, Christmas is going to be hard. Thanksgiving is going to be hard. A lot of these holidays and things that come along, it's going to be hard for them. We need to stay in touch with them. Stay with them. Others in our church family that have went through loss not long ago, it's hard. And there are widows and folks in need in our church that need help. And our church is spoken of all over this community. I heard this week about, well, that is I love that church. They do. They have so many good people that go there and demonstrate that. But that'll keep your faith dynamic. And then he says, unspotted from the world, without spot. You know, I'm really glad that it's kind of more in style now to wear colored shirts instead of just white shirts. Because I can walk, I'm like Pigpen. I can walk by dirt and it jumps to me. I think it's got like a homing device. There he is right there. Find him. Jump on him. Let's all get him, you know. I mean, I do horrible with white shirts. They're not white very long. I have one or two for special occasions, but you don't see me in them very much. But he says, pure religion, 100%. Keep yourself unspotted as much as possible from the world. But it is a message that's heard by many, done by few. Are you willing this morning to be one of those that say, yes, I want dynamic faith? I hope you are. You know, as we go into a time of invitation, I want to ask that our folks come for the invitation time. Maybe you're here and say, doing the spiritual checkup, I don't even have a spiritual pulse. I'm dead. Well, I'd ask that this morning, if that's you, don't wait. I don't know what more illustrations you need that life is short, because it is. Come this morning and let us share with you from the Word of God how you can know 100% that you have a home in heaven. But not only that you have a home in heaven, but you can have a better place and a better life right here in the time God allots you on earth now. You can have a better life here on earth. You can help others in a better way. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Tim, I've allowed some things where my hearing isn't what it ought to be. I'm dull. My faith is dull. Boy, now would be a great time to just get rid of that and say it's not ever going to be that way again. I'm going to pray that God will help me. And you know, I didn't have time to go into it, but iron sharpeneth iron. So a man's countenance doth sharpen his friend. Teens, you can help each other. Adults, you can help each other. You can help each other stay sharp. Maybe there's somebody here who says, I just need to go down and pray. I need somebody to go down and pray with me that I'll be the man or the woman or the boy or the girl that God wants me to be, that I'll have dynamic faith. Maybe you have other needs you'd like to come and pray about this morning. You just want to come and pray. That's all right, too. This altar's always open. If you would just stand to your feet for a moment, I'm going to get Brother Brad to lead a hymn invitation, and you just do whatever God leads you to do. I'll be here at the front. There'll be others here that can deal with you this morning and talk with you and counsel with you, give you what you need from God this morning. If you feel that beating in your heart, that's not indigestion. That's God speaking to you. Obey it. Don't put it off.